And here we are. We are back.
It's a little ditty about Jack and Diane.
Yes. But for the purpose of this evening's interview, Jack will be played by Steve.
I like that.
What's going on tonight, fellas? And ma'am?
Oh,
not a whole lot. We're just happily talking to you right now. Doesn't get any better than that.
You've set your standards too low, sir.
Just chilling out, really. What about you?
Well, we're chilling, that's for sure. It's about 20 degrees, and everybody's having a good time.
Mother Nature just has not been nice to you this year.
No, they haven't.
It really hasn't been that bad. I mean, we've had a few days over 40. We had a couple over 50. We've only had two that were really, like, you know, below zero freezing cold. So
we had, like, 50 degrees below
zero. It's not too bad. I mean,
that's not fit for penguins.
That's pretty cold by Atlanta standards.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were down there for about a year back in the early 90s, my wife and I. And actually, it was the year that Hurricane Andrew hit Florida.
Okay.
And it came up, and we got some very nice wind in our right by our little apartment there in Smyrna, Georgia.
Okay.
That's not too far away.
No, it wasn't too bad. Yeah. Good times. 20 degrees is brutal for Atlanta.
It is.
It is.
I don't mind it when we get a dusting of snow and they close down the whole town. That's kind of cool.
Oh, right.
Well, Atlanta, they have to.
Yeah.
I mean,
they don't have any way of dealing with it. So,
well,
yeah, it's
not just that, but everything around Atlanta is on a hill, and some genius put a traffic light in the middle of the hill.
Yeah.
I never understood that while we were down there. I was like, who puts a red light halfway down the hill?
You figure it out. Let me know. I have no clue.
That just always annoyed me to no end. I went through a set of brakes in like 10,000 miles. I was so pissed.
Huh?
But anyway, you guys have some new music you put out.
We do. We put out an EP back, I think it was end of November.
Well, we put out our first single, Black Mariah, in November, and then our EP was released January 1st.
There you go.
Okay. I know you sent us the Black Mariah song a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
We played that. Actually, we played it again earlier tonight we threw it in the mix just to kind of as a prelude to this in this little conversation.
Oh, like a teaser.
Yeah. Yeah. The video is very interesting on that one. I actually like the nostalgic feel on that.
We had a great time making that. We had to travel up to West Orange, New Jersey, where Thomas Edison's lab complex is, and get location shots for it. And it was a great visit. We had a 5-hour block to shoot in. We got done in about half that time and got all the shots we needed. We did the rest of our interior shots, like what you see of me playing guitar and everything, Diane playing the drums. That was all done here at our home in Georgia, and we pieced it together, and Diane, you know, put everything together on the computer, did a great job directing it. It was just, like you said, it was a great bit of fun, great bit of fun.
How long's that drive? It took you some time.
I think it was about 16, 17 hours.
Yeah, something
here.
Like that.
Wow.
But as you can see, though, it was worth it. I mean, you had to have that building in the picture for it to work, so, you know. We've been getting a lot of great feedback on that. It's gotten about over 7,500 views on YouTube and elsewhere on the net. It's gotten several thousand, too. So it's people are really liking what they see. We're pretty cool with it.
Yeah, Alex, it is a cool video. I like the old film footage and stuff like that. That was it's kind of a nice just throwback, and then it doesn't necessarily mesh with the music, but it works.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's what we thought, too. There are some in particular, like the Frankenetti sisters you see dancing at the very beginning of it, or
the Sioux Indian dancers.
Yeah, talk about that kind of thing in the making of video that's also on YouTube. Yeah, there was some where it just kind of seemed like they were made for that piece of music. Other ones, Diane had to alter the speed of it to make it fit. But yeah, I mean, there was some of that old footage was just gold.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because you look at some of that old footage and you can see just such a drastic difference from everything that's done today. But it's just, I don't know, that some of that old, it's just cool.
Well, I think Thomas Edison, I mean, he was capturing a lot of the, you know, the huge stars of the day that were, you know, vaudeville performers coming through town. Some of it was motion studies. You know, there were some things where it's like, well, let's just see if we can try this that way and see what comes out of it. And, yeah, I mean, it was a lot of great experimentation. And, yeah, I mean, just showing off the world's first movie stars. I just thought, you know.
And these were actually the first movies ever made.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's interesting to watch. I know I've watched it a couple of times, just once earlier today, and then we played the song here too. So it's just, I don't know, it's something fun.
It is. It was one of those kind of songs that just kind of wrote itself. I had gotten a foot pedal. There was some particular effect on the foot pedal where it made that sound. It was really dirty, kind of a grind it put on the guitar. It only really worked on the lower strings. And it was a good example of where the effects wrote the song, really. We thought it sounded like kind of like a rusty old machine. Diane came up with a drum program that complemented it, and it just, you know, kind of took off from there. It fell together like that, so... It was a happy experiment in minimalism, I'll put it that way. It actually worked. One time it actually worked. So, you know, we're cool with it.
Now, she sings In the Blood.
Indeed, she does.
Right.
And you've got a video for that one as well.
Yes, right.
But that's a completely different vibe.
Yes.
Yes, very much so.
What's the story behind that one?
Well, it was kind of written, I guess, in a more traditional manner, but the lyrics for it were actually written over 20 years ago, and it's really kind of ironic because they're kind of more true today than they were back then. But the song is just kind of about, you know, the struggle to hold on to one's beliefs when society is kind of pressuring you to, you know, redefine your moral standards to fit with what's trendy. And of course we hear a lot of that these days.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you know, and this is, you know, written in a very different time period, but it seemed very relevant today. So it seemed like a good fit to release.
Do you enjoy making music videos?
Absolutely. Making the videos are a blast.
We're making our third one right now, as a matter of fact. We're about to do, well, probably over these next few weeks, do quite a bit of filming for it, and hope to have that out by, early April, maybe?
Something like that, yeah.
Which song is that?
That'll be for the song Going Nowhere.
Okay.
And that's actually an instrumental on this EP. It actually has lyrics, but we weren't happy with the vocal take, so we released it. Well, that and the beat actually both have lyrics, but we weren't happy with the vocal take from either one at the moment, so we just released them as instrumentals. We'll put out vocal versions later, but for now, that's what we got.
Okay. Now, do you normally stick to EPs, or do you do full lengths?
Well, actually, this is our first commercial release. So,
okay.
You know, we started out with this, and probably... you know, in the future, we're hoping maybe, you know, in the latter part of this year, you know, maybe we can put out a full album.
Now, you guys do all of it yourselves, or do you bring in studio folks to help out and fill in sound, or?
As much as we can, we well, on those two songs, we did everything.
Okay.
Yeah, on In the Blood and Black Mariah, we did everything on, well, I guess actually on The Beat and Going Nowhere, we did also. There were different vocalists on Going Nowhere, though. But yeah, okay. We try to do as much as we can, and we have a pretty small circle of people that we'll bring in. It's like, can you help us with a guitar solo? Can you help us with a keyboard part? That kind of thing. Can you put a back vocal here? You know, we have a few go-to people for that kind of thing. But yeah, we usually try to do as much as we can ourselves.
Okay.
Do you guys play out a lot in Atlanta?
We aren't right now as a duo. You know, it makes it difficult because, you know, we would have to bring in other people to, you know, to play all the parts to do a lot of live gigs. And that's really part of the reason that we put the emphasis on the videos right now, so that it could, you know, all just, you know, be the two of us. But probably in the future, you know, if things keep going well, then, yeah, we'll definitely look into heading that direction.
If we got an offer we couldn't refuse, I mean, if Robert Plant or Duran are listening, you need somebody, you know. We're going to dream, we'll dream big, hey.
If you get Duran, I'm on that tour. They're my second favorite band of all time.
Who's the first, Lance?
The Beatles.
The Beatles, okay, all right, all right.
I've been Duran since I was in, like, sixth grade.
So you start with the Beatles and then go to Duran.
I never left the British Invasion,
I guess.
Dude,
that is a huge first step, let me tell you.
It's a really good pair, though. You can't knock a pair like that. That gives you a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Wide audience.
Exactly.
I remember in sixth grade.
And you got to love the variety.
Yeah.
Go on. Sorry.
As I said, like, I remember in sixth grade, I had Rio. I went to Oakland Christian Walkathon, and I had a Walkman. I had Rio in it. I remember that. I was in sixth grade listening to Rio.
Yeah, I was probably about the same age when Rio came out.
Yeah. The videos. Did you ever like Duran, Chuck?
No. No, I did not, Lance. You were in sixth grade listening to Duran at a walkathon, and I think I had probably Number of the Beast cranked out in mine. So, yeah. Yeah. Little different flavor there.
Yeah. I had a transition where I went from, like, new wave to metal. Don't know how that happened, but.
Yeah,
still like new wave, though.
A bit of a jump.
Yeah.
Yeah, now that's a jump.
How about, yeah. Really, I mean, we can relate to that because, I mean, we're both the same. We're, you know, he grew up listening to a lot of classic rock, where I grew up listening to a lot of new wave type of stuff. And really, it's made for some interesting music by meshing those influences together.
And meeting in the middle, yeah.
Yeah.
You could kind of hear it, actually not kind of, but you can definitely hear it in Black Mariah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a great example. There, we've always been that kind of, I mean, since we're talking about the Beatles, that I've always enjoyed that kind of bands that can do, they don't mind jumping from this to that and don't mind what kind of genre they put a foot into, and kind of like the Beatles or Led Zeppelin or...
Or Queen.
Pete Townsend, yeah. Yeah, Queen's a great example because, I mean, anybody who could do Bohemian Rhapsody, Another One Bites the Dust, and Crazy Little Thing Called Love, and pull them all off that damn good. I mean, love that kind of sense of a musical adventure like that. So I think we have the same kind of spirit. I like to think so.
Yeah, and because record, they had a fight to get Bohemian Rhapsody out. Like, they did not want to.
I know.
Yeah.
Record labels wanted no part of that as a single.
That was too long. Yeah, I mean, it's too long at the time. Nobody wanted to play something that long. They were into the 3-minute stuff.
Which is weird because, I mean, you had Inagata De Vida not too many years before that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And.
Thank you.
Inagata De Vida.
You know, And the Grateful Dead were still, I mean, they were around, and they would do, like, what, a three-hour show, play four songs.
I know, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, a short song for them is, like, 15 minutes, you
like,
know?
Like keep trucking.
Right. You know, and one of my personal favorite bands of all time, Rush, they get told to, you know, tone it down and be more, you know, radio-friendly. And they said, yeah, no problem. Here's 2112. The entire first side is a song. So
it's like 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
They get Rare Earth. And
we'll put out a short 7-minute song for the radio. Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, that was, I don't know. I've always liked longer songs. I think they bring in a little bit. They have to keep it interesting. If you're going to put a 7 or 10 or 13-minute song out there, you've got to throw some changes in to keep somebody's interest through the whole thing. Nobody wants to hear the same thing, the same four chords for 13 minutes.
Yeah, because I think there are some people where they take too long to build a groove, and it's like, well, maybe that's me as a musician that kind of picks into that. But I mean, some people where it's like, okay, now you should be doing this. Now you should be, wait, you're still doing that. No, this is boring. Stop.
Yeah. You've got to throw something different in there. I mean, there's a reason why AC/DC never had a 5-minute song.
Exactly. Exactly.
They had a formula. It worked well for them.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not going to throw something out there that's that long because you're going to lose interest.
Have you guys heard Get Ready from Rare Earth? Their cover is like 19 minutes long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. The fact that, and again, they were able to get away with that. It's like, I mean, it's amazing a band like that or Traffic could do some of the longer ones where you just went with it, you know.
Yeah, they just kind of jam out and just keep going.
Kind of like the Allman Brothers, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, even like Stranglehold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what, 7 minutes or something? A little over 7 minutes. And but it holds your interest like a little bit.
Yeah.
It's a good song.
It is.
Yeah.
You can sit and listen to it.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know. I like stuff like that because I don't like it. You've really got to pay attention and pick up the little differences and like, oh, okay, you know what? That was a weird change right there, or that was a really nice transition or something. I mean, it's just something to grab your interest and hold it.
Because if you listen to, like, Get Ready by Rare Earth, you know, they go into the song, and they all do their own instruments. Then it slowly builds back up into the song, and they go back into the song. And it kind of like you hear the bass and you hear the drum. You know, then like the other bands lower their tone. Yeah. Then it kind of all of a sudden kind of bring it back up to the full band playing the song. And it's just amazing how they can go from the song and then each of them drop down without missing a beat. Like you don't hear that. It just kind of flows, you know?
Yeah. A lot of bands can't do that and can't do that well. So yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I love that kind of thing. I suppose something like that. I mean, I don't think it's out of the question for us. It just, I guess we put a lot of our bombasts on this EP, but something like that in the future, I'd like to dabble in that. I think that'd be fun.
Just kind of.
Well, I think you get a lot more time to express yourself creatively as well, you know?
Exactly.
And you can push yourself. See, okay, how can I go from this to this and make it sound good?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's just something different.
I mean, the Black Crow is another Atlanta band, you know, live. I mean, their songs on the radio, you know, when stuff was 3 to 5 minutes. But then you see them live, and they just jam out. They just keep going.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I know a couple songs where, yeah, they'll just go, where it's like, what song is this? You've been going for like 12 minutes. It's like, cool.
Yeah, like Thorn in My Pride live. It's like 15 minutes long.
Mm-hmm. You know. And there's nothing wrong with that. As long as you can do it well.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if they got that from going on tour with Jimmy Page.
Oh, I know, right? That was an amazing tour. I saw that.
I wanted to go see that. I'm not sure if they came through here or not. I don't remember. But I did want to go see them on that tour just to hear all the Led Zeppelin stuff, you know.
Yeah, it was, and they didn't do, I don't think they did any Black Crow songs when I seen them. They just did a lot of the standard blues stuff and Led Zeppelin stuff. And I kind of regret to this day, like, my buddy got a shirt. I don't know why I didn't get one. It had the Black Crow symbol, like the two crows. Then it said Zoso. Mm-hmm. Like, once it was the two Black Crows, and it said Zoso. And I was like, then he wore it, like, all the time hanging out with them, like, after the concert. And I'm like, why the hell didn't I buy that shirt, too? I don't know why I didn't. Because it's like, you know, it represents both. It represents
because it wasn't a hoodie.
Right? But I don't know why I didn't. I have, like, 10,000 rock hoodies. It's like the running joke. I'm actually wearing a Rolling Stones hoodie right now.
Yes, he is.
You need to put up a picture of that.
Yeah, it's kind of like there's like blood running off the tongue. It's just
So I don't even know what that would be. Oh, you know what, the whole interview with the vampire thing.
Oh, was it?
You can just tie it in with that.
I'll go
when Guns N' Roses did their cover of it. So
Oh, you mean Sympathy for the Devil?
Yeah, but it was from a movie Interview from Vampire.
Oh, okay.
Or with a vampire, sorry.
Yeah.
But
we derailed.
I know what you mean.
Now, being a two-piece, you think the White Stripes help open that up to be more kind of like you just have two people and make a big sound?
Well, I think there's been a lot of duos over time.
Alan Parsons Project is a great, that's one of my favorite duos.
Yeah, and really they're a great example of, you know, someone that, pulls in a lot of different musicians to, you know, give their different songs and different albums totally different feel. And, you know, it really works.
I never knew Alan Parsons Project was a duo.
Yeah, it's Alan Parsons and Eric Wolfson. I think he's the one who sings. Alan Parsons does a lot of the keyboards and keyboard programming, and Eric Wolfson does keyboards also. But his vocals are what you hear on the Time. He's actually
Eye
on
the Sky, maybe.
Yeah, Eye in the Sky.
Eye in the Sky. Yeah. The big MTV video.
Yeah. Back when the M actually meant music instead of just, you know, morons.
Yeah.
Boy, those were the days.
Yes. So, yeah, it's not like you guys are like about our age then, because I'm 47. I'd be 48 this year. So we all grew up when music was music.
Exactly. And, you know, that I think that's why a lot of the music you hear on regular commercial radio is, you know, they're people that don't actually play instruments. They play computers, and, you know, they missed out on the good stuff.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I don't think anybody, like, us going to record stores, and I think, I don't know, it just seems like, you know, a lot of people are missing out. I mean, you know, it's just, like, us growing up, you rode your bike to record store, or you did this or that, and hung out for hours at a record store. Those times are gone now, really.
Yeah, nobody goes out and does anything.
No. Except for your, like, Alyssa, she's like, looks out like record stores.
Yeah, my 13-year-old and my 22-year-old, they love record stores. So,
vinyl kind of made that comeback.
Yeah, I mean, the little 13-year-old, she'll go in and, like, walk over with like, Janis Joplin or Joan Jett, and she's like, can we get these? Okay.
Didn't she get a Runaway vinyl when we were out?
Yeah, she found an old vinyl of the Runaways.
We were all out record store day.
Yeah.
Because
she wanted that.
Yeah, the last 2 years we all went out on a record store day.
Oh, cool.
That's cool.
And we've done, you know, other things, just stopping by the record stores, just because why not? Mm-hmm. We actually usually end up there, like, for Christmas shopping. A couple of the used record stores just pop in and flip through some of the old vinyl just to see what the heck's there. Because you never know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think I picked up I picked up an old copy of Simon and Garfunkel's Greatest Hits.
Okay.
Because I listened to that growing up when I was like, you know, 4 and 5 years old, and just loved some of those songs.
You know what's funny is, speaking of Simon Garfunkel, me and my ex-wife, we'll talk about her.
And yet you brought her up, Lance.
We went and saw Simon Garfunkel, and we both kind of expected it just to be Simon Garfunkel. But we went, it had, you know, they had like 10,000 musicians on stage playing, and my ex-wife at the time said, that was a good show, but it's kind of disappointing. I was kind of hoping it would just be Simon and Garfunkel, like back in the day, not like two drummers. They had two drummers, backup singers, like 3 or 4 guitar players, and she said it just kind of lost the magic of what it was on the albums.
Yeah, that would take away from something like Sounds of Silence. It's like, what?
Yeah, do you need that many instruments?
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of defeats the purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just, and it does. It kind of, I wonder if a lot of people expected us, like, leaving there going, it was a good show, and it was cool, but it wasn't what you predicted it to be, just those two guys coming out.
Well, yeah, but on the other hand of that, you know, the other side of that, you've got, they did it that way for so long. How they had to keep it interesting for themselves as well. So it's okay, we've been there, we've done this how many thousands of times or hundreds of times. Let's switch something up and try something different, you know, because it's going to be different. It's going to hold interest. So, I mean, to that end, you have to give them some creative control over it and, you know, keep things interesting for themselves.
Yeah, they have, like, the two drummers and backup singers and guitar players.
I mean, after a while, they want to go out and sing the same songs the same way every single time. You get bored with it.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, well, I guess it depends on the band. I mean, Rolling Stones, they keep cranking out the same show all the time, but it's really, really cool. So, you know, I mean, they don't change up any arrangements or anything, and, you know, they keep cranking them out the same way. I guess they're cool with it. I guess different strokes for different folks, I guess.
Yeah, but the Stones take, what, a decade off and then come back and do something, and then...
True.
Yeah. I was talking about the Stones is like, I listened to a morning show called Feedback, and they were talking about how, like, it's like the Rolling Stones' most creative stuff was made during the Beatle period, when the Beatles were, like, their competition. And when the Beatles kind of, like, you know, broke up and dismantled into their own thing, the Rolling Stones kind of became lazy on songwriting. It wasn't as much the competition, like, back and forth kind of deal. It kind of lost that, where the Stones thought, we're still around, we could just write whatever and make it our own without putting all our effort into it.
Well, a couple things. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I do like quite a bit of the 70s stuff, though, but yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
Yeah. When was Exile on Main Street? When was that released?
71, I think.
71?
I think.
You know, the best part of that is what you were saying was the fact that the Stones thought they could compete with the Beatles. and just no.
That's true.
just no.
Well, they have longevity on their side.
That's true. Well, it helps that they're very well chemically preserved.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, if there's ever a nuclear war, we'll have the cockroaches and Keith Richards still standing.
Yeah. What is that one meme I think I saw on Facebook with every cigarette you smoke, it like takes an hour off your life and gives it to Keith Richards or something like that. It's like, I don't believe that.
Yeah, I swear, I think that guy was 70, you know, back in the 40s.
Yeah.
He's always looking like that.
I mean, he's looked the same for the last 30 years.
Yeah. Easy.
I seen a meme that said that we've lost Michael Jackson, we've lost Prince, we lost Bowie, but we still got Keith Richards.
Yeah.
He'll probably outlive us all.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
He quit drinking, though, I heard, or something.
Keith Richards will not die this year. Keith Richards will live forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's either
that's how mummification works.
Yeah, he's either a vampire or like a Twinkie.
He just does like he's like a blood transfusion every week or something.
Yeah, he's just never gonna go away.
Vampire Twinkie would be a great band name.
That would
would be yeah.
Vampire Twinkie. Like that's like a side project.
There you go. You can see stones
covered. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but you'd have to do them on a piccolo.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's the only instrument allowed.
Ukulele.
That's just so disturbing in so many ways.
Yeah.
I thought my band name was weird.
Oh, you have no idea. You should listen to some of the old shows we've got on here. It gets dark pretty quick.
We're like we're like the ADD radio. Like, we just take.
There's nothing wrong with that.
It's like we always say, like we just kind of like stray from topic like many times.
Well, the whole point of it, or the whole approach that we try to take is, we ask about the music, but it's not. It's much less an interview, and much more a just conversation.
Thank you.
Because it gives people a chance to get to know more than just the creative side or the artistic side, the musical side. You know, I mean, we sat and had a 15-minute conversation with a kid in L.A. about his dog.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I remember that.
Well, that's wonderful.
You know, and it's something that would have never come up, but, you know, it just you kind of heard the dog in the background and... Next thing you know, we're talking about the dog and how what it likes to do when it goes outside and the food that it eats and all this other stuff like that. But we got done, and he messaged us after the fact, and he actually appreciated it. You know, because it was just a conversation. It was just a, you know, hey, it's just a couple of human beings sitting down talking about music and life and whatever else.
And
that's part of what we love so much about internet radio in general. I mean, it's just everyone is so friendly and conversational. It's not like when we had first put things, you know, we tried to put some things out in the 90s, and it was a totally different kind of playing field at the time, because if you had like this one amateur show that you could be on, or college radio. And college radio kept telling us, you're not weird enough for us.
Yeah.
You had to know the guy who hosted that morning show. You had to be his buddy or something, or you weren't going to get played. And the only way to get played on there was, I guess you had to buy him flowers or something. I don't know what.
Chocolates and stuff.
Everybody was, you know, at the time, it was the grunge era. Everybody was, they were rude. They were smarmy. They were snotty. I'm like, dude, I'm just trying, you know, we've got this music. We're just trying to get it played on the air. What?
Yeah.
So, we just love all you internet stations. You're just so damn friendly.
Well, thank you.
We try to be.
Yeah.
No, you just are, damn it.
we get a little weird at times.
Yeah. We like
hey,
that.
Weird is good.
Yeah. It's like we're friends with the...
Yeah, haven't we?
We're friends with a band called Reign of Z, and we talked to them for like an hour.
Yeah,
and then like they called back like 2 weeks ago to promote like a concert. Yeah, they're doing like a GoFundMe kind of thing, and I'm like, hey, you know, call and promote GoFundMe like 2 weeks later. It was almost like we picked up where the conversation left off.
Yeah,
you know, it was like we're just talking to friends.
Yeah, and $20 is $20
bucks.
So. That was a running joke through the actually through both interviews.
It's still a running joke on Facebook.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Just hey, $20 is $20, so yeah. It was fun though. And we've talked to we've talked to a range of folks. Ted Nugent's drummer we've had in here a couple of times talking to us. Great dude.
He's like 19 years old or something.
He's in his 20s now.
In his 20s,
I think so. He can legally drink finally. He just doesn't.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, he's from Detroit.
Yeah.
We had no idea. We booked the interview through a PR person we work with, and they're like, you know, he's Chet Nugent's drummer, and he's doing some other solo stuff, and then he lived like, oh, I'm 15 minutes up the road from where we are or whatever, and then like, well, next time, come to the station, and he did.
Yeah, he did.
But he had no idea that he was just up the road, you know, pretty
you
much.
You know, but like we were saying earlier with the style and stuff, they had an interview with Dave Ellefson, who started his own record label a couple of years ago, and an interview was arranged, and they sat down to talk to him, and he said, I've got like 10 minutes to give you. And 40 minutes later, he said, hey, listen, I really got to go.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like in my meeting, guys outside waiting for me.
So you know, I mean, it has its benefits, I guess, you know, but whether it's Dave Ellefson or what was the dude's name from TSO,
Joel Hoekstra,
whether it's one of those guys or you know, a local band here that you know formed. What, 2 months ago, and they're playing a show, and their dad's sitting in on drums with them because they don't have another drummer. You know, we talk to everybody the exact same way because at the end of the day, everybody's in this for the music because they love music.
And we want to give independent, you know, a voice as well, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So get out there and promote their stuff and help them out, you know?
Yeah, we've got we've talked to a couple of folks across the pond.
Yeah.
There was the one dude from, Australia Norway. One of them, I can't remember who he was, or where he was at. He was from Australia and in Norway, or from Norway and in Australia, or some weird something like, you know, he was in Hawaii when we talked to him.
Oh, yeah.
That's because he had moved to Hawaii with his family, but yeah, it was from like, or was it Iceland or something?
I don't know, some weird.
It was like night and day.
Yeah,
he was from
Finland or something, and he like lives.
Oh yeah,
in, like,
okay, maybe Finland.
Netherlands.
I was thinking Norway,
yeah.
But yeah.
And he lives in Hawaii now. Yeah.
He was from somewhere on the planet, and then we talked to him somewhere else on the planet.
He's floating around the world in a barrel, and he stopped by your station, and he talked to you.
Yeah.
Major Tom, the ground control.
And then there was the actor dude that we talked to from one of the soap operas. He did that side project, the horror movie or something.
I remember that, yeah.
We talked to him. I haven't seen anything from him in a while.
I've only been nervous for one interview ever.
Tiffany.
Yeah.
The Tiffany. Wow. Why are you nervous about talking to Tiffany?
This is my very first concert at age 14. Don't judge me.
The running joke is his mom took him clothes shopping to go back to school, and she was at the mall, so.
It's actually at Pina. It's actually outdoor music theater, and I had, like, front row tickets I got for my birthday. And I bought a 6-foot poster and, like, a program. I was, like, 14. She was 14. And so I arranged an interview in Kentucky.
And Lance thought, this could happen.
I did. I'm your biggest fan. But like,
why is security here?
But
I've been stalking you for years. I love you.
Right.
But so like, I got like, she was playing in Lexington, Kentucky. She was at some kind of Comic-Con deal. And so I got a media pass, and I have family in Kentucky, so I stayed at their house in Lexington. And
okay. So
I'm there. It's at Rupp Arena, in like a convention center at Rupp Arena. And so I go do like, you know, I like look at the bio, and I couldn't think of it. So I called Cheyenne, who's here. And I'm like, Cheyenne, I can't think of any, like, questions. I read the bio, like, 100 times. And so Cheyenne, like, helped me write the questions. And so I'm waiting if I can win. And I go up to her, and I'm like, Tiffany? She's like, yeah. My name on the screen, my first guy at age 14. I'm not ready to start doing an interview. She's like, what? And so I, at that point, you're ready just to, like, walk away. You know what I mean? You're like, well, goodbye, Tiffany. I'm out. But she's like, she's like, no, what'd you say? So I told her again, I'm shaking. And she's like, it's okay. I'm just Tiffany. We did about a 45-minute interview. I got like 3 hugs out of the deal and a kiss on the cheek. That was kind of cool.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I wonder why I smell now. I'm kidding.
Right? I could never wash again.
I know.
But, yeah, it's fun.
It's a lot of fun talking to people from all over.
It is. I enjoy it tremendously. I mean, I've never been I can't say never, but in the last couple of decades, you could bring the Pope in here and I would strike up a conversation. It doesn't matter who I talk to.
Yeah. I don't mean either. I mean, that's the only time I've been nervous, though, which is weird. I don't know. But other than that, I'm fine talking to people.
I've never done that.
Never done what? Got nervous talking to people?
No. Freak out like Lance did.
Well, yeah, but you've never had a crush on Tiffany, so.
Well, that's very true.
Right. That we don't know.
Tiffany, I think we're alone now. No, I'm kidding.
All right, on that note, we're going to bring things back full circle here. And, hey, where can people get a hold of your music at?
All over. We are all over the internet. iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, SoundCloud. You know, you can hear us everywhere. In fact, we just put a post up on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram today. Showing all the places where people can find our music.
Cool. Very cool. Well, we are out of time. We're going to have to get out of here tonight, but thank you so much for giving us some of your evening. We appreciate it.
And, you know, feel free to, you know, you're welcome to, you know, call again.
Yeah, we can do this again.
Awesome.
We would love to.
This worked out pretty well. I'm sure that you guys could share some stories next time since we shared a lot this time.
Yeah, but now Tiffany will be our running joke on our, you know.
There you go. There you go.
Either, oh, can't wait till the next time then.
Yeah.
Either that or everybody has to agree that the entire next interview, everybody has to talk like this and explain all the stories and just nonstop talk like this. That has to be the way the entire interview goes.
Just to make people from other countries wonder about us. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm sure they wonder now.
Yeah, there's a few. Yeah. Yeah. I got a letter from a psychologist in Sweden. She's concerned.
I bet you did.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you guys so much. We appreciated the conversation. Have a great evening.
You guys have a good evening. And up next.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good night.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You too. Good night.
Good night.
All right. It is done, and we are done for the week.